This is 1A. I'm Joshua Johnson in Washington. Taking one day a week off school can draw cheers from students and spark fears in parents. Rebecca Williams felt those fears last fall. Her school district in suburban Denver became one of the largest in the nation to adopt a four-day school week. The district has 18,000 students. At first, Williams says she did not take the change well.
I started to initially panic because I was like, well, we work 5 days. What do we do on the fifth day? Who's going to take a kid for one day a week? You know, we didn't know any of the details.
The district is wrapping up its first year with the new schedule. Now, perhaps she will come to love it, as many other parents and teachers and administrators have, especially in Western states. Back in 2016, about 120 districts nationwide had three-day weekends. Today, that's up to about 560 districts. It's helped save money, retain teachers, and it's given rural families a break from long-distance travel to and from school. But what does it mean for students? And what does it mean that public schools are trimming the calendar to trim their budgets? Let's explore the four-day school week as part of our project 1A Across America with the help of one of our partner stations. Joining us from KUNC Public Radio in Greeley, Colorado, is education reporter Stephanie Daniel. More than half of Colorado's districts use a four-day school week. Stephanie, welcome to 1A.
Hi, Joshua. Thanks for having me.
Stephanie, let's get just a basic definition out of the way first. Clarify what we mean by a four-day school week. We're not just talking about districts cutting a day off the calendar and just leaving it that way, right?
Right, exactly. So what happens as students are in class for 4 days and the day is typically longer. So here in Colorado, there is a set amount of time, the state sets amount of sets time that students need to be in the classroom. So District 27J that I've been reporting on, they added 40 minutes to their days to make up that extra time. They also started the school year a week earlier. And it's up to the district to decide if they want to, what day they don't want to have class on. So the majority of the districts here in Colorado don't have school on Fridays.
Tell us more about District 27J. That's in Brighton, Colorado, as I understand it. What was the motivation behind making the change?
So District 27J is in the Metro Denver area, and they have one of the lowest salaries for teachers in the area. So a lot of people thought that the reason that they did that was to save money, and they're saving about probably $1 million this year, and a lot of that will go towards saving on transportation. They'll only have buses 4 days a week, so they won't be paying for gas and upkeep. And then the schools, a lot of the schools are closed on Monday. They actually, Monday is the day that they have off, so they're saving on electricity and things like that. But speaking to the school district, one of the main reasons they did it was to attract and retain high-quality teachers. Because the district has pays their teachers less than surrounding school districts, 27J was often seen as a stepping stone for teachers. So they would get teachers maybe early on in their careers, directly out of college, and they would stay for, you know, 3 or 4 or 5 years. And then when they wanted to make more money, they would go to other school districts. So the idea was that having this just a four-day school week, it would be enticing to teachers. And I spoke to Tracy Rudnick, who is the public information officer for the district, and she said that when they had their job fair last spring, they actually got double the number of applicants than they would normally get. And they've actually been able to, this year, been able to fill a lot of positions, and they've actually had teachers who have a lot more experience come work at the district, as well as fill some of the positions that are harder, like special education teachers and career and technical education teachers.
Is there any data to show how it impacts the districts in ways other than budgetary ways? For example, student achievement. Do students learn as well or better if they're in school 4 days instead of five?
So this is the first year that 27J has had the four-day school week, and they're just wrapping up their school year. So they haven't, they're just starting to collect data. So they don't have any of that information out there yet. But there has been other data that's been done. There's a couple of studies that have been done here in Colorado and looking at Colorado districts. And one of them showed that there was a significant improvement in math scores. But then there was another similar study that didn't show any significant differences in student performance. So, yeah, there's just not a lot of data out right now about how this impacts students and their academic achievement.
Glad to hear from those of you who've got some experience with four-day school weeks. Zach emailed, growing up in rural Eastern Oregon, a four-day school week was the norm for as long as I can remember. The four-day week was wonderful because most of our games and extracurricular events were on Friday. In addition, if you were struggling in class, Friday was a great day to get one-on-one help with the teachers. Stephanie Daniel, one of the things that we've noticed is that this seems to be much more a phenomenon in Western states than Eastern states. Mm-hmm. So maybe this isn't really new. It just might be new to those of us on the East Coast who aren't used to it.
Right. And I think that, you know, the email that you just read about him growing up in a rural district is part of the reason why I think Western states have adopted this more, because you do have these school districts that are more remote and they're more rural. And, you know, if they, let's say there's a football game and they're playing another team or, you know, another high school that is a 2-hour bus ride away. So you think if they have a game on Thursday or Friday, I mean, it just makes more sense for kids not to have to go to bed super late on Thursday and then try to get up early on a Friday morning and come to class. And then you also have, you know, they're in agricultural communities, and maybe, you know, we have a lot of mountain towns here in Colorado that are tourist communities. So it's just helpful for students to have that extra day off as well, because maybe they're helping their families out with businesses or farms or things like that.
We're speaking to KUNC education reporter Stephanie Daniel. Got some mixed opinions from several of you about the 4-day school week, and we'll get more into personal stories about how that plays out in just a minute. Sundays wrote on our website, the1a.org, who could object to a 3-day weekend? 4 longer days than 3 days off? That makes sense. Sharpen the lessons, concentrate the information. Cecil wrote on our Facebook page, better off moving to a 6-day week with shorter days. Kids, especially young ones, don't learn well with extended hours. They need shorter, more frequent study sessions. We'll get into some more research in terms of how 4-day school weeks or different kinds of schedules besides a 5-day school week affect students in a little bit. But Stephanie, you've been following up with parents to see how they feel about this first year. Here is a parent named Rebecca Kanjis, her thoughts on the 4-day week.
It's been kind of difficult because the teachers now only have 4 days to get all of that same curriculum in. They're often teaching 2, maybe 3 concepts in a day. I've even talked to my son's teacher about this because he missed a couple days because he had strep throat. And I felt like he got so far behind. And she said, you know, honestly, I have to teach 2 or 3 concepts in a day. And so if they miss 1 day, it's like missing 2 or 3 days of school.
Stephanie, follow up on what Rebecca Kanjis was telling us in terms of what it means for students to be in this different kind of learning schedule.
Well, yeah, I mean, as she mentioned, you know, the school days are longer now. They're 40 minutes longer. So, and teachers have to take a 5-day curriculum and condense that into 4 days. So teachers are teaching more, students are learning more. So that can be an issue. But for Rebecca Kanjis and her family, they're interesting because her son, Cooper, he's in the 5th grade, he's 10 years old, and he plays competitive hockey. And he's on a travel team, so they travel out of the state. They had a game in Canada. So having that Monday off allows them to have a little bit more flexibility. She'd mentioned when I first talked to her that their flight got delayed. I think they were in San Diego. And it wasn't an issue because they didn't have to rush back to get to school on Monday. And then, of course, for parents, another issue is work. You know, parents who are working. And she is an associate professor at one of the universities here in Denver. And she's actually able to work from home on Mondays. So that makes it more convenient for her as well.
We mentioned what the parents are doing. What about the students? What are they doing with their day off? Are they prepping for college? Are they working? Hopefully they're not getting into more trouble on their 3rd day, right?
Right. So it's a couple of different things. So for elementary school students, the district has childcare that is $30 a day, and you can pay for your child to go to that. And so they have a bunch of different activities, art activities. They take field trips. For some of the older kids, they've been volunteering. They've been working. Also, some of the students are working in the childcare and helping out with that. And then also, you know, we just finished winter. So I know Rebecca Candace was saying that her son, she's got two boys, and her husband, they would go up to the mountains on Monday and go skiing and snowboarding. So, yeah, there's a lot of different options. And as students get older, they're also working as well.
We can't ignore, of course, the fact that this is also largely budgetary, that going to a four-day week, as you mentioned, is designed to save money. I'd love to get your sense of what that means in Colorado in a larger sense when we continue our conversation with KUNC education reporter Stephanie Daniel. Also glad to get some more of your thoughts on this. Russ tweeted, "It's already bad enough being married to a teacher and them being smug about summers off. Now they get three-day weekends too? In case my wife sees this. Just kidding, dear." I'm Joshua Johnson. Glad to be with you. You're listening to 1A from WAMU and NPR.
Support also comes from Rothy's. Rothy's are the everyday flats for life on the go. Stylish, versatile, fully machine washable, and they go with everything from yoga pants to dresses and skirts. Best of all, there's zero break-in period thanks to their woven design, seamlessly crafted from recycled water bottles. Plus, Rothy's always come with free shipping and free returns and exchanges. Find out why BuzzFeed called them their forever shoes at rothys.com/1A.
About 10 minutes, that is all we need to get you started every morning. The biggest news stories from politics to pop culture with the analysis you need to understand what's happening. Listen to Up First, weekdays from NPR News.
This is 1A. I'm Joshua Johnson. We're discussing the growing trend of four-day school weeks as part of our project 1A Across America with KUNC education reporter Stephanie Daniel. Stephanie, before we bring in a few more voices, I wanted to ask you about why Colorado. We know that it has one of the lowest rates of per-pupil funding in the U.S. It's also one of the few states where a majority of districts are on a four-day week. I think Nevada is the other one. But what about Colorado? Why is it kind of ground zero for this?
Well, I think part of it is that we do have a lot of rural school districts. And as we were talking about earlier, it just you know, makes it easier for the students and for the parents to have that extra day off, whether it's traveling to games or maybe working on a family farm. But there also is this issue about per pupil funding, and Colorado has one of the lowest rates of per pupil funding. But, you know, the issue is even with District 27J, they're only going to save about $1 million by only having a four-day week. So that money isn't really going to impact teachers' salaries necessarily. But I think the idea for them was that it's a good way to retract and retain these teachers. A lot of teachers are working second jobs or doing things on the side to help supplement their bills. So anecdotally, we've heard that teachers are using that extra day maybe to do some work on the side. But, you know, really, I spoke to a teacher, Dave Devin Chinzi, and he teaches second grade with 27J. And he was saying, you know, he likes having the Mondays off. He says it makes the week fly by. But when it comes down to it, I mean, teachers are trained and most teachers work 5 days a week. So having that extra day off, yeah, it's great. But most teachers would choose to be making more money. And I think with 27J, they're just surrounded by districts that pay their teachers more, that they just needed to do something to incentivize teachers to stay with the district.
You mentioned rural school districts, and so that would be a good place to bring in a voice from a rural district in Colorado. Joining us now for the conversation is David Blackburn, the superintendent of the Salida School District, which is in a rural part of central Colorado. David, welcome to the program.
It's great to be here today.
Also joining us to give a more national look from KUOW Public Radio in Seattle is Paul Hill, a research professor at the University of Washington, Bothell. He's the founder of the Center on Reinventing Public Education, which researches ways to improve K-12 schools. Professor Hill, thanks for making time for us.
Glad to be here. Thank you.
David, let me start with you. Tell us about Salida. What's the community like? Who lives there? What's the population like? What's the industry like? Paint us the basic picture.
I think that's a great place to start because when you talk about Western states looking at this innovation more than Eastern states, it's the size of the geography that really does impact us. You know, so I'll just tell you my drive in this morning. Sun's coming up, but it hits. We have 12, 14,000 foot peaks. So they're covered in snow. I've got the Alpenglow. You know, I see elk, I see herd, I watch, a bald eagle in the river, and then I pass a car. So it's a very different world that we live in here in terms of how many people are here. So I have about 1,300 students, and I have about 12 to 15,000 people in my area. And so we're not talking about the same kind of stories that urban districts are facing. It's a very different picture, as well as budgetary, it's a different picture.
Talk about the impact on your district since you switched to the four-day schedule. As I understand, you switched about 8 years ago in 2011, is that right?
Yeah, quite a few years ago. So we've settled into it, which is nice because we're beyond some of the theoretical savings that people talk about. And we've been able to realize how much of a difference that does make. And, you know, so we've looked at how much does it happen on attendance. In the first year or two, we saw great gains in attendance. And now it's kind of settled into better than what it used to be with a five-day week. We see a lot of benefits with teachers just on the substitute side that they miss less with the four-day week. But those really aren't the significant pieces. And the budgetary piece isn't significant, I wouldn't say, either. When we went there, it was a budgetary financial piece. We're coming out of the recession. And just so people understand rural Colorado, the reality. So we were trying to save about $100,000. That's about what we average in savings. And so we disrupted a large community for that amount of money. And so that's a hard piece, but it's just so different. So I have about a little over $13 million operating budget. And I get about $9,500 per kid. And so when I go out where you are, Joshua, and you know those the eastern cities, Washington, New York, they're gonna spend somewhere between $19,000 to $20,000 per kid. So that's about a $10,000 difference. So if you funded education the same way in rural Colorado as you did in Washington, D.C., I could actually double my budget. And so we're talking about very different kind of numbers and realities that we live within.
David, how are your students doing in terms of just achievement, grades, educational attainment under a four-day week compared to when they were under a five-day week?
That's a great question. I think that's one of the main reasons my community would not want to go back is because prior to the four-day week, we were probably, 60th percentile in the states when you looked at student achievement scores. Now, since then, we've been able to sustain in the top 10%, top 15% of the schools in the state. And so we have found amazing academic excellence. And I think the four-day week had a part of that, part of the story.
Professor Hill, how does what David Blackburn is seeing in Salida square with your research in terms of how four-day school weeks do nationally?
I would say it's very encouraging what he has to say. I think the motivation he talks about, the initial financial motivation, is probably common throughout the country. But what people find, as he did and also as Brighton did, is they are actually giving up 20% of their days for about 1% of the budget or less than 1%. So the budgetary argument is it really doesn't pass. The issues about making sure the kids benefit from this instead of or get hurt by it, it has a lot to do with the way the teachers and the administrators deal with it. One of the things we see as a problem, I wouldn't say in his district, but in many others, is that first of all, the little kids find it hard to go the whole day, and it isn't clear at all that that they can really learn proportionately more in a little more time in a given day. It was raised by another commentator earlier. It may very well be that the four-day works very well at high school level and not at elementary level. We don't know that yet. But the other big issue is how well the teachers use the time, and that's a tough thing. It's a much longer day. Everybody knows that teaching is extremely rigorous, and then you add that much more onto it. And I do believe that some teachers can do it, but many people we talked to, teachers, said that they were tired, the kids were frazzled by the end of the day. And others also said that they found after 3 days off, every Monday was like the day after vacation. It just, everybody had a long time to focus. So there are real challenges, and I think some localities have met them. But I did want to raise one thing we saw. We started looking at this in Idaho, which has a lot of remote rural areas where migrant groups that used to be transient have settled out, and they often live just outside of town. And those groups had almost nothing to no input to the decision on the 4-day week. And unlike people in the town, they didn't have mothers at home. They had, you know, mothers and fathers out in the fields working. And there were really no arrangements to help the kids learn a lot more, to, you know, to do enrichment projects and so on on the day off. That's a big contrast to middle-class families, the kind that are listening to NPR, that really have the resources to keep the kids at work and give them enrichment, take them to see colleges and do the things that are sensible for the final day.
Yeah, I hear you, Professor. I do want to put that to David, because you raised some interesting points. Yeah. I would note that there are quite a few migrants and low-income people who do listen to NPR. But I understand your point in terms of the demographic changes and the way that they affect different parents at different social strata. David, how do you deal with some of those differences in terms of more affluent parents compared to less affluent parents, parents of small children compared to parents of teenagers? Is it just a kind of everyone's on 4 days, they do it all the same, or do you have to kind of vary your approach for different kinds of kids and different kinds of families?
I appreciate the question. I might back up and do a little context and then jump into that question, because I think it's helpful, because it has to go community by community, and you individualize at that level, depending whose needs aren't getting met. And so for us, I think the success we found was how we implemented it. It was a community-wide thing. It was owned. It was a deep discussion. And it allowed us to really ask the questions that you're asking around, what do we do with a family of affluence? How does this help them? And how do we design to that versus a family that might need to work 7 days a week and doesn't have all the supervision? How do we make sure the system's helping both of those? And I think that conversation at the community level turned it into a conversation of innovation versus a conversation of just budgeting. And I think that's really important, because it changed the mindset, almost the whole milieu of the community, where teachers did focus more on the students. We had higher engagement than we'd had previously. The parents and the community, all those pieces came together. And so what that allowed us to do then, to take that issue of affluence or families who might have poverty risk factors, is those families with affluence were able to really focus in and have more family time. And we know how important family time is for the social emotional factor, which has a bigger impact on student success. And so those families were able to harness that opportunity. And some of them might have gone skiing. Some of them might have gone and done all their piano lessons. Then they did their other extracurricular activities. And then what we were able to do is we were able to partner with people like Boys and Girls Club and a lot of our other nonprofits. And we created day programs, just like we do with after school programming for families that have to work. We just dialed that right into Friday, which is the day we take off. And we created programs that were specific for them. And we were able to offer more tutoring for families that might have risk factors. We were able to really target kids that were behind and give them more tutoring. And so we developed those programs to really help that. And that's actually, I think, been the best benefit. Because rather than giving a generic answer, a generic strategy and program to kids who might need extra assistance, we were able to design programs that were just for them on that day off. And that's been one of the innovations we've found successful so far.
Stephanie, let me ask you about that piece the professor brought up in terms of how kids of different ages deal with the longer school day. I can understand that if you got a little kid, that, you know, they're fidgety enough when they're just around the house, let alone when they are with a teacher. You heard from a parent named Rebecca Williams, who has a 7-year-old in first grade. Here's what Rebecca told you about how he's handling the longer school day.
He did have a really tired day earlier this week where he just, you know, he had recess, he had his gym class, and by the time I picked him up from aftercare, it was almost 6 o'clock, and he was like falling asleep at the table. But other than that, I mean, it's been pretty good for him. He's had some good support with his teachers. He has ADHD, so it's a little harder for him to stay focused. So they find little ways to keep him engaged and into the work and keep him from kind of pinging off the wall.
That's parent Rebecca Williams, who has a 7-year-old in first grade. Stephanie, what else did you learn about how students are handling these longer days, especially students of different ages or students with different kind of learning and educational needs?
So I think that is an issue. As she mentioned, her son, Cade, has ADHD. So I think there is some concern with students that have special needs and that are used to, just going to school for the normal 8 hours, the original 5-day schedule, and adding on that extra 40 minutes can be a bit of a challenge. And then another issue when I spoke to another parent is, once you get into middle and high school, the day actually, it's also longer, but they finish up at 4:30 in the afternoon, which can be a challenge for maybe some after-school activities that aren't necessarily district-related. And so just, how do you, if you have, if your child is doing activities with other kids who are in a normal 5-day-a-week school district and their day has suddenly become longer, like what does that mean for some of the activities that they do?
Superintendent Blackburn, I'd like to get your response to a listener comment that we got. Marcel from Oklahoma left this note in our inbox.
I don't think that the 4-day school week has been beneficial for my child. I think that they have tried to cram too much work into the 4 days. I don't think in the long run that it's really going to help the children because they are just not getting enough one-on-one teacher time and school time.
Marcel, thanks for sharing your thoughts with us. Superintendent, how do you make sure that kids get enough one-on-one time in the longer 4-day school weeks?
I appreciate that question because we struggle with that even when we have 5-day school weeks of how do you individualize attention for a kid for their specific needs. And so that carries over into the 4-day week. I'm not sure the changing the minutes impacts that. The difference for us is we've been able to take that 5th day that's available to us and create programs that are specific for a kid, like that mom spoke of, and offer the help that they might need, whether that would be with a partnership with a nonprofit, and there's some help there with another voice and another kind of approach to helping with the academics, or whether that's just more time with teachers with some tutoring and things of that nature. And so that's how we tackle it.
Professor, I know we have to pause in a second, but there's research that shows that the U.S. does not crack the top 30 countries in terms of reading and science and math. We heard from some listeners, like Tomorrow, who tweeted, "I understand the logic behind a 4-day school week, but it seems like giving up. Instead of trying to do less, we should demand more." What about that argument that we should be spending more time in school or more days in school?
I think Dave's district shows that the 4-day school week can be beneficial to kids and improve their learning. But the truth is that most of the districts that are doing this are not among the most high-achieving districts, and most of them can claim is they don't get any worse. So this is definitely not nationwide a movement toward enhancing school outcomes. It really does affect things like the budgets and also competitiveness for teachers. Districts do get teachers if they go 4-day week. But it isn't at all clear that the districts that are doing this on average were among the best districts to start, and the most they can say right now is they're not any worse.
I want to talk more about the impact on teachers when we continue with University of Washington Bothell Professor Paul Hill, KUNC Stephanie Daniel, and Superintendent David Blackburn of the Salida School District. We also got a number of practical questions from you about how the 4-day week works. Betsy asked, does weekly homework decrease with a 4-day week? It's a hot-button issue in my area of Cleveland. And Michael emailed, does going to a 4-day week make it harder or easier to make up for snow days? Good questions. We'll get answers in a minute. Stay close.
This message comes from NPR sponsor, NCR. You run a small business, which means work-life balance doesn't exist. NCR Silver is more than a point of sale. NCR Silver is a business management platform that can help make running your business easier, giving you more time in your day. Understand your business like the big brands do. NCR Silver helps save time and reach your goals faster. NCR Silver. Visit ncr.com/silver.
What would you do if you found out a story that had shaped your identity was a lie? NPR's new podcast, White Lies, investigates a murder in Selma, Alabama from 1965.
And exposes the conspiracy that kept it unsolved. Until now. White Lies. Start listening Tuesday.
Back now to our 1A Across America conversation with KUNC's Stephanie Daniel, Salida School District Superintendent David Blackburn, and Professor Paul Hill of the Center on Reinventing Public Education. Bob emailed, "We live in Crested Butte, Colorado, a resort town at 9,000 feet, but very remote. It takes a day on either end to get just about anywhere. We still do 5-day school weeks, but go 4 weeks on and 1 week off. We don't have 3-day weekends. This allows parents and students to get away where 3-day weekends would not." David, what about that? Did you consider any other kind of permutations of the calendar other than 4-day school weeks? I mean, some districts have considered year-round schooling or 6-day school weeks where they meet on Saturdays to make sure kids get all the educational time they need. Why did you settle on that particular calendar?
Well, that's a great question. I think, again, the initiation point was a budgetary piece coming out of the recession. And so it was, how do we cut costs? And so people have already mentioned some of those positions like transportation and places like that. When you go down to 4 days, you can save money on electric bills and other places. I think the key thing that today, because we're looking at year-round school, we have these conversations, but right now our community is not interested in that deeper conversation. So I think that that's the most important aspect if people are looking at these innovations is, what's the appetite of your local community? What meets their needs? Because when our community is ready to switch to a 5-day week, well, then we'll look at that. When our community is ready to go to year round, whether that's 4 weeks on, 1 week off, there's a lot of different models to look at. I think we're ready and open to do that because we've learned the lesson out of this conversation. To be willing to shift, to be willing to be flexible, and to stay really closely in touch with our community and what their appetite is for conversations like this.
Stephanie Daniel, what's your sense of the appetite of Coloradans to have that conversation? I mean, let's be clear. This kind of gets down to just the idea that for some districts, including Superintendent Blackburn's district, there's just not enough money to go around to educate kids with the resources that a district in the Northeast might have or in wealthier parts of the country might have. Do parents want to have that conversation, Stephanie?
Well, I think it will be interesting now that, District 27J, which is in the Denver metro area, if other districts see, okay, this big school district is doing it and, you know, they're able to hire more teachers and retain more teachers, that maybe we should try that too. And for parents, I think it just kind of depends. Every family is so different. You have, a lot of parents, they both work. If it's a two-parent household or a single-parent household, they're working. So I think what to do for childcare on that day off is really important. And with 27J, their childcare for that Monday is only $30 a day. And Rebecca Williams, her son Cade, was already in before and after school care, which is $20 a day. So she's just paying an extra $10 for her son to go to childcare on Monday. So when you look at it like that, you know, if you are a working parent and if your child needs to be in after and before care, then maybe it's really not that much of a financial impact to have full day child care. And also, too, on the flip side, you know, these kids are in school longer. So maybe having that extra 40 minutes in the day and they get out a little bit later, that maybe a parent will be home and you won't actually, maybe it will reduce your cost because you won't have to spend money on after school care.
Patricia emailed, "As a retired teacher, I find this heartbreaking. As we know, education is one of the keys to success and personal fulfillment. This is shortchanging children and staff. It's about money. It's about not valuing education." Professor Hill, could you respond to Patricia's comment? What do you make of that?
I don't feel that the performance of districts around the country is better than that implies, but I do think there's an important point in the comment. The districts that have tried to go to four-day week to save money have really not saved very much. I mean, both the districts we discussed today saved less than 1% of their budget by doing that. But the link to money is that districts that cannot afford to attract teachers with raises and high salaries can compete for teacher talent by offering the four-day week. And that's what we finally realized, why the idea spread so quickly. In education, innovations don't catch on very fast. This was wildfire, and it was because of the teacher labor market. And the significance, I think, of the Brighton, Colorado experience is that it is getting into urban areas now, and it might very well be that in the future, the only way you get teachers, even if you're a big city district, is to make concessions on things like the four-day week. And, it's kind of an apocalyptic vision, but you could end up with the teacher labor market and financial scarcity driving all the districts in the country down to four-day week. And basically what you've ended up with is, in order to keep teachers around, you've reduced the work week by that much. Now, that could be good, could be bad. I do want to encourage people to look at my center's website, crpe.org, and put in four-day week. Georgia Hayward, my colleague, has done a lot of work about how to do it right, and a lot of the things that are in there are like things that David said. But it is one of those ideas that can be done well, can be done badly, but the problem is it's now driven by financial necessity. That is to attract teachers.
David, I'm sure that there's a part of you as just an educator that must be bugged by the fact that you have to make these trims on the edges and even have to do something like this just to balance the books. I'm sure that's got to bug you on some level, but we know that there are some teachers who like this schedule. I mean, Kristen Voiles is a second grade teacher in the Wagoner School District in Oklahoma. That district is finishing its third year with a four-day school week. Here's part of what Ms. Voiles had to say about it.
I have a lot of friends, a couple that are in other districts, and they are the same way that we are. We love the four-day week. Normally, you know, a teacher's job isn't 5 days a week because we come home, we grade papers, we stay late, and we run copies for the next day. And that extra day in the weekend actually helps us prepare for the next 4 days. So I'm usually up at the school on that fourth day or the day that we have off, running copies, grading, and doing everything else. So it helps me with the administrative side of keeping my classroom running smoothly.
That's second grade teacher Kristen Voiles in the Wagoner School District in Oklahoma, which is finishing its third year with a four-day school week. Superintendent Blackburn, I wonder how you kind of resolve this for yourself. On one hand, you have teachers who say, yeah, this is helpful, this is useful from a practical standpoint. On the other hand, I don't know one teacher in the whole country who wouldn't rather just make more money or make what they deserve.
Yeah, I mean, obviously that deserve piece has a lot there, and we want to make sure that we are honoring this. I mean, it's a critical pillar of democracy. We have to have everyone ready to be able to think independently. But I think that what I found with my teachers is they love the four-day week because they can focus so hard and make sure that the 4 days are great. They're not stretching out to a fifth day, and I don't know exactly why that subconscious psychological change happened in our district, but our teachers are passionate about every instructional minute. And that's freed them up because, as that second grade teacher mentioned, they're here another day. So whether it's Saturday or whether it's Friday, they now have a capacity to not burn out. And it comes back to teacher pay on some level of that piece. I have to make sure that they'll stay in the profession. I like what Professor Hill was talking about. This reality of a lack of teachers and that economy and the need for those teachers is a humongous deal for me, because the number one thing that impacts kids is the magic that happens between a teacher and a student. All the other stuff falls by the wayside, if that's right. If my teachers have enough energy to be passionate for 4 days and stay year after year to make a career out of it, I will do better for kids than anything else I could possibly do innovation-wise. And we've found that the four-day week is keeping our teachers in the classroom longer, more years in the career. And they're willing to work for the less money that we offer in Colorado because of that reality, because they can also have the lifestyle and the families that they're looking for. So they're not working every single moment.
David, let me get to those two practical questions I raised earlier, if I could just get you to answer those real quickly. Betsy emailed, does weekly homework decrease with a four-day week? It's a hot-button issue in my area of Cleveland.
It's a great question. So it does decrease during the week, and it increases on the weekend. And so if you look at the secondary level, high school, they're going to give more weekend homework because of that extra day there. And they're going to give quicker assignments during the week. And then at the elementary school, we have more minutes to do more practice work. And so we do see less homework at the elementary level. We do send homework some, just so parents are engaged in that conversation. We find a lot of academic success when parents are engaged. There still is some, but it's definitely decreased overall.
Michael emailed, does going to a four-day week make it harder or easier to make up snow days?
It's a great question. I think we had over 25 feet of snow in my district. We live right on the Continental Divide, so it's a great question. And it's a non-issue, actually. I wouldn't say it makes it easier or harder. And if we needed to make it up, we could, but it hasn't really impacted us in that way.
Corin wrote on our Facebook page, my daughter's school has a four-day week. As a family, we love it. It creates a great balance for us to have more freedom to travel and do things as a family without sacrificing her education. We also heard from some of you about the impact that this has on certain families, particularly those who use free and reduced lunches. Here is what one listener left in our inbox.
This is John calling from Little Rock, Arkansas. My main concern with this is that many students get their only meal a day from school cafeterias and reduced cost lunch programs, and a loss of one day translates for many people and many families to a loss of a meal.
John, thanks for raising that point. Stephanie, what have you found in your reporting in terms of kids who need free and reduced meals?
Well, I mean, that's definitely an issue. I know that with 27J, with them having the child care, once the child is there, everything is paid for. Rebecca Williams, her son Cade, goes to the child care on Mondays. And she'd mentioned that, they take field trips. And one Monday they went roller skating. And the district paid for everything. They paid for food and all of those things. So it's definitely something that the district is taking into account.
Professor Hill, what about that concern in terms of kids who need free and reduced meals? What does that look like nationwide from your research in terms of four-day school weeks?
Certainly it's an issue, and the issue of unsupervised time on the fifth day is an issue. RAND is doing a nationwide study of this right now. Within a year or so, we might actually know more about the kind of social welfare consequences of this, which could be important. And as the other people have said, it can be handled, but it takes a lot of effort to do it.
Nicholas wrote on Twitter, my son's school had recently eliminated art, football, and heavily cut music in the name of saving money. Is there any evidence that the four-day week saves money? And if so, do any of the savings translate into increased electives and extracurriculars for students? David, I know you said that it has saved some money. Stephanie, what about other districts?
So, like I mentioned, for 27J, they're only saving probably $1 million. So it's really not... it's not a huge amount of their budget. I don't know if that money has gone into more programs like art and music. But when I spoke to the district, they and I know that David had mentioned this too. They've partnered with other organizations in the community to provide programs to kids on that Monday. So they have. An arts teacher or a music teacher has an orchestra academy. There's art classes. There's community centers that are providing programs for kids. So I think, in that respect, there is having that extra day allows more flexibility for the students to pursue some of their artistic passions or go to a free class at a community center.
As we're winding down, Professor Hill, where do you see this going from here? Is this a trend that's growing? Is this kind of plateaued? What do you see next?
I think it's a growing trend. It may be slowed down a little bit if negative evaluations come out, but they're not coming yet. I do think it might move into urban areas and might become actually a part of teacher unions bargaining, trading off work rules and other concessions for in times when they can't get raises. So I think it's a continuing issue. So the question of how to do it right is a big one.
And Superintendent Blackburn, to that question, I'll end with you. What's the one thing you would keep, you would urge school districts to keep in mind if they're thinking about a four-day school week?
I think I'd like to capture a lot of what Stephanie had and Professor Hill, just to say it's about the synergy you can start to create with this conversation. So if the budget is the lever that maybe starts the conversation, it allows you to start create those synergies where people get more focused on what's the right partnerships to build, whether that's in the classroom, whether that's outside the classroom. We do backpacks to fill up food to make sure kids who don't have food on the fifth day. Mm-hmm. We did that with these partnerships came out. Innovations keep happening as you drive to that conversation, implement this way. And for instance, we're working at bringing a community college in now.
Right, right.
So on the fifth day, they would have complete ability to get certificates in the trades.
David Blackburn, superintendent of the Salida School District, KUNC education reporter Stephanie Daniel, and Professor Paul Hill, the founder of the Center on Reinventing Public Education. Everyone, thanks for being with us. This conversation was produced by James Morrison in collaboration with KUNC, one of our 1A Across America partner stations, and it was edited by Miranda Fulmore. 1A Across America is funded in part by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. You can learn more and share your thoughts online at the1a.org/AcrossAmerica. I'm Joshua Johnson. Thank you so much for listening. This is 1A.